Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Scares.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. Family, friends, loved ones. Welcome. Wow. It's been a long time.
It always is.
I know. I swore that we wouldn't do that again, but listen, we went on vacation, and by golly, I was on vacation. I just made the decision to shut it all off and not screw with anything, including the podcast. So there's that.
We did hear stuff that we had planned on going and recording, but it didn't happen.
No, it sure didn't. But we took all our stuff with us because we were going to record while we were down there. We were even going to do a live while we were down there. Nada.
Nope.
No. But, you know, 5 days went really quickly.
It did. And it did rain a couple of days.
Yeah. We'll talk about more about that after so that nobody people gives can... us a bad review for talking too much.
That's true.
Before the story. They're welcome to check out if they don't want to hear about our vacation and things.
Sounds good.
We are going to go right to the story. It takes place in 1890s St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah. Actually a very rich family. Very well off. And batshit crazy. So here we go.
God.
Arthur Dustro. I hope I'm saying that right because I'm going to say it a whole lot. And if somebody knows it different than that, is going to be real annoyed by the end of this. So sorry if Dustro is not right. That's what he is right now. He was 21 years old when he married 25-year-old Albertina Lies in 1890. Arthur came from a wealthy, prominent family and lived mostly off of his inheritance.
Must be nice.
Right?
Don't you have a rich family somewhere?
No. Not even a little bit.
Me either.
Arthur had enjoyed a life of partying and was known to be a heavy drinker and smoker. Married life actually seemed to calm him down, though.
Really?
And things in the Dustro home were quite pleasant. The couple moved into a large, beautiful home in Compton Heights. And it's a pretty exclusive neighborhood from what I understand. Not nice. Big on St. Louis, but meh. Arthur showered his new bride with lavish gifts and loving attention. About 2 years into the marriage, they welcomed their son, Louis, into the world.
Aww.
It was around this time that Arthur began reverting back to his old ways.
Darn it.
Yeah. He enrolled in the Missouri Medical College and began using the title doctor, even though he never graduated or practiced medicine.
What is the deal with that?
Most people said he only attended that school so that he could go by doctor and it would help his reputation and make him feel superior to everyone because they could call him doctor. I don't know.
Gosh.
That's an interesting thing to be like, I'm just going to go to medical school so I can be called doctor. Okay. I guess if you have money to burn. Although I don't think college was quite the same expense as it is now.
No kidding.
Or you wouldn't do it for that reason, for sure. So. This is also, like I said, he had kind of reverted back to his old ways. One was always armed. Always carrying. Always packing heat.
I gotcha. Okay. He has a weapon on him. Gotcha. Yeah.
He began frequenting saloons and running around with various women of questionable character.
Ooh.
Yeah. He began keeping a mistress also, Clara Howard in St. Louis, and spent a great deal of time with her. So he started going and seeing her more, kept her up in an apartment in St. Louis.
By the wife and kids at home.
Yes. So good times. He became violent with Tina and would often curse and hit her.
What a douche.
Yeah. He even fired a shot at her.
What the fuck?
Around the time Louis was about a year old. This caused one of their servants to quit.
Oh, yeah. I've been out.
Right? No, thank you. Another young servant stated that Dr. Dustro was all right when he was sober. He just was never sober. He would come home drunk and beat Tina and scream and yell all night.
Oh my gosh, I would totally be out of there.
Right? Fun guy. On February 13th, 1894, it was a snowy, cold day. Ugh. Arthur spent the morning with Clara, his mistress, and he left there around noon to head home. Along the route, which was about 3 miles, he hit several saloons. And then he stopped at a livery stable to hire a driver with a horse and sleigh. Sweet. He finally pulled up in front of his home around 4 p.m. So it took him a total of like 4 hours to go 3 miles. So he had a little bit of fun between there. Tina saw him pull up in the sleigh from the second story window and asked her servant Katie to ask the doctor, which is what she called him, sweet, if he was going to take her sleighing. Katie went downstairs with 2-year-old Lewis in her arms. She opened the front door to the drunken Arthur, who said, "You damned bitch, you haven't any business opening the door for me," as he pushed past her.
What the hell?
Welcome home. He started up the stairs with Katie in step. Tina met him at the top of the stairs and asked if he was going to take her sleighing. He shouted back at her, "Yes, and get ready in a damn big hurry, too."
Woohoo, I want to go.
I can't wait to go somewhere with you. Not. Arthur took Lewis into the playroom while Tina and Katie went into Tina's room to get her ready. In a few short minutes, Lewis came toddling into his mother's room, followed by his father. Arthur began berating the women, calling them bitches, because that's the word he loves, and saying they were running a whorehouse there.
Yeah. He should be right at home.
Right? You wish we were running a whorehouse here, because that's your scene, dude. He started to hit Katie, and Tina stepped between them. She rebuked him and told him, "If you hit anybody, hit me." He quickly obliged, striking her in the face using his hand.
What the hell? Yeah.
He turned back toward the servant, Katie, and again started to hit her, and Tina again yelled at him, "Hit her if he needed to hit someone." He struck her 2 more times, causing her to fall to the floor. He swore at the 2 women again before saying, "I'm going," and storming from the room. He came back in carrying Lewis and his revolver. The sight of the gun started another argument between Arthur and Tina, and he began waving the gun around. This made Katie nervous, and she left the room and went upstairs to the 3rd floor to her living quarters. And she listened, and she could hear the fighting continue and get louder, and she started back down the stairs. Sorry.
What was that?
That was a half clear throat. She had started back down the stairs when she heard the first shot.
Oh, no.
Then she heard Tina yell out that Arthur had shot her. As she got to the 2nd floor landing, she heard a 2nd shot, and peeking through the open door, she saw Tina Dustro fall to the floor. She then watched as Arthur picked up Lewis, pinned him to the wall, and put the revolver directly over his heart. She turned away, but heard 2 quick shots as she was running down the stairs. She told the sleigh driver what had happened and continued running. The driver rushed back to the stable to get help. Arthur Dustro then turned the gun on himself. Or at least he wanted it to appear that he was trying to kill himself. The bullet just barely grazed his head, and he fled the scene on foot. He hailed a ride and told the driver he had just killed his wife and child and needed to go to the police station. He repeated the same information when he turned himself in at the station and was taken into custody.
What the heck?
Yeah. Investigators rushed to the home where they found the little boy dead of 2 gunshots. Tina had been shot 3 times but was still alive. The gun was located at the scene and was empty.
Holy crap.
Dustro was interviewed and told quite a wild story, claiming the shooting was all a terrible accident.
Yeah, okay.
He said after arriving home, he went to toss the gun to his wife at the top of the stairs, and she yelled, "Don't do that, it might go off." So he walks up the stairs, and when he handed the gun to her, it began discharging, and it just kept firing on its own.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't makes a stop, lot of sense.
Striking his wife and his child. Not believing this tale, they placed him in handcuffs and took him off to the Four Courts City Jail. He was outraged at being treated like a criminal, and he screamed and raved the entire way. He said there was no way he could have killed his wife and baby. He spent the first night in jail, kind of alternately sobbing or laughing hysterically. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
What a psycho.
The coroner's jury ruled on February 14th that Louis Dustro had come to his death at the hands of his father. The baby boy was buried later that day in Bellefontaine Cemetery. Mm-hmm.
Breaks my heart.
Yes. 2 days later, February 16th, a murder warrant was issued for Arthur Dustro. On February 17th, Albertina Dustro died from her injuries. A coroner's inquest took place the following day, just before she was buried in Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Cemetery. She was not buried next to her baby.
Why?
I don't know.
That's weird to me.
Yeah, I think so too. That's why I pointed it out. He was indicted for the murder of his wife on March 20th, with the trial to start on April 9th. Dustro's legal team, led by former Missouri Lieutenant Governor Charles P. Johnson, announced they would seek an insanity defense. They were granted a change of venue to Franklin County, and the case was continued to May. Shortly after, Arthur was indicted for the murder of his son. In preliminary hearings, the trial date was pushed to January 1895 for the killing of his wife, and the murder case for his son's death was continued indefinitely. So they're only going after him for the murder of his wife. I'm guessing that's the better case. I don't know.
How is that better?
I don't know.
I would think he'd get harsher charges. Well, so
here's the thing. I only got about half of this researched on my newspaper's website.
Are you slacking? My archives. What happened?
Well, no. I only got about halfway through it and I didn't get all the details because the website started doing maintenance. And so I couldn't access the newspapers to like look back and be sure on things, so I didn't want to say anything that might not be
right. The web page was doing
they're doing maintenance. So a service that I pay for, mind you, is unavailable to me for I don't know how long.
Due to maintenance.
Yeah.
Sounds like road construction.
I'm requesting a credit memo. Because that upsets me. So anyway, some of these things that I don't have all the details on.
That's why.
Yeah. So sorry.
Ooh, that's your go-to.
I know. I'm pissed because there's things like that and why she was buried in another cemetery that I just couldn't dig too much on because, like, it's like missing my left arm not having that website. Yeah, so suck. Anyway, when January 1895 came, the defense formally filed their insanity plea. This began the hearing to determine Dustro's competence to stand trial.
Well, if he's sober, he's fine.
Apparently.
Like, he's not crazy.
Both sides brought in their own experts, doctors, and other professionals to interview Arthur and testify to his mental state. Citizens were also called to testify.
Oh, geez.
The defense had many people that testified to Arthur's history of alcohol abuse from a young age and how he was dim-witted, nervous, and often had exhibited peculiar behavior.
Great.
Drunk people do act peculiar.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of that this weekend. Anyway, one witness stated that late one night, Arthur had lambasted a police officer outside a saloon. He asked the police officer where the planter's house was because he had an appointment to meet General Sherman there.
Oh my.
Yes, that's right. The General Sherman from the Civil War knew he was going to go and meet there.
Yeah, but everybody says stupid shit when they're drunk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I've never used that one before, but...
I mean, I can, I guess.
Those testifying for the prosecution claimed they had never seen anything indicating anything more than drunken belligerence.
I want to go with that, because yeah. I won't even get strung up.
A fellow alum of the medical college said the only issue that Arthur had as a student was his laziness.
Ooh.
Even guards from the jail were brought to testify to his mental state. Some stated that he had exhibited bizarre behavior, claiming his wife and child were still alive and communicating telepathically with him.
Wow. He could be
putting on. Yeah. I mean, that's Why what I would you? Say. And he should have thrown in an alien or two.
I'm telling you.
I don't know if they knew about aliens then. They might not have had a name for that at that. Well, we need to look and see when it was like...
started?
Yeah. I feel really stupid now for not knowing that. He claimed to also be the Surgeon General of the United States and a Cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church.
Ooh.
He's a big deal.
Yep.
And he's a doctor. Those that testified for the prosecution said that they had not heard him make any of the wild claims or exhibit any bizarre behavior. So it just depends on who was there, I guess. Mm-hmm. The prosecution accused Dustro and his legal team of trying to fake an insanity defense.
There you go.
And stated that the actions and behavior of the defendant months after the crime was not necessarily indicative of his mental state during the crime. Word.
Truth. I was there.
Dustro's parents were brought up in the hearing as well. The defense claimed both had been heavy drinkers, and his mother had drank heavily while she was pregnant with him. That absolutely means he must kill his wife and child 25 years later.
Nothing to do with anything.
Witnesses for the prosecution said his parents were nothing more than moderate social drinkers. So, again, depends on whose side. The hearing ended with a hung jury, unleashing a fury of outrage from the public and the press. It appeared this was proof that money could buy you a legal team that could confuse a jury with a stream of doctors and professionals. You get enough people in front of you saying enough things, you're like, I don't even know what happened anymore. Who's that guy? What's his name?
What'd he do?
Yeah. So, I mean, that makes sense. And when you have you have people who are just regular people like you and me, and there's a bunch of people coming in, and of course this was a long time ago when professionals were very much the word of their field. Mm-hmm. I mean, they knew everything about it, and people like us knew nothing. It would be like, well, he said that, yeah, but the other guy did the same thing, said this. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you land on that? And when you know that this guy's life is in your hands, if you're wrong, hung jury. The second sanity hearing started April 30th, 1895. So it's now been a year and 2 months. Lasting until May 11th, when the defendant was found to be sane and competent to stand trial.
Oh, there we go.
I knew you'd be happy. The first trial, starting in late July, ended in a hung jury in early August.
Ugh, why? Yeah.
The second murder trial began January 13th.
What?
I had my cursor over. I couldn't see the one.
13th?
13th. January 13th, 1896. We're almost 2 years after the fact now. In the early morning of February 2nd, after deliberating all night long, the jury came back with a guilty verdict for first-degree murder.
Finally.
Yes. I have a feeling that the murder trial kind of went the same as the sanity hearing. A bunch of people arguing that the other people were not as smart as them. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported that when the verdict was read, Dustro was the, quote, coolest man in the room as far as external appearances. He calmly blew a puff of smoke from his cigarette into the air. Whatever. A few weeks later, Judge Rudolph Herzl sentenced him to hang by the neck until dead on April 22nd.
That's what we're talking about. Are you happy? Well, I mean, it just... It kills me. Yeah. I mean, this guy is allowed to walk around for 2 years. Yeah. Well, not really walk around, but stay alive for 2 years. And he was a douche and beat his wife and killed his kid and killed his wife. It's just... God.
Yeah. The execution was postponed due to the appeal filed to the Missouri Supreme Court.
Of course it was.
The High Court took up consideration of the case in January of 1897.
Oh my goodness.
Almost 3 years now. The defense argued that the jury should have been given instructions for a verdict of murder in the second degree. They should have been given that option to pick that. Justice Thomas Sherwood rejected this argument, saying this: "It is well settled in common law that when a homicide is committed in circumstances of great barbarity and cruelty, such as brutal malignity, will supply the place of malice and make the act of killing equivalent to a deliberate act of slaughter."
What?
He says bullshit. On January 19th, they upheld the lower court's decision, and the execution was scheduled for February 16th, 1897.
My goodness.
3 years and 3 days.
That's crazy.
You're going to love this one.
Now what?
A group of ladies in St. Louis took it upon themselves to try to save the life of Arthur Dustro.
Why, was he a stunning man?
No. There was a picture of him somewhere. I need to find it so I can post it. But
oh, shh. Don't be saying stuff like that. We know how you are.
Okay, so I won't post it. I'll go look at it. But anyway, he's not stunning at all. If I'm thinking of the right picture, and I think I am, he's... Well...
But can we judge?
I'm gonna. In early February, they petitioned the Missouri governor, Lon Stevens, to commute the sentence to life in prison. The day before the execution, Governor Stevens announced his answer to the petition.
Don't you dare tell me that he went with it.
He would not interfere in the case.
Good. Gosh.
That same day, Arthur Dustro was taken from St. Louis to Union to await his execution. Execution. Almost messed that one up. Anyway, he was now claiming to be a Prussian general, Count Brandenburg.
Whoever you are, have fun.
The scaffold was not quite complete upon the prisoner's arrival, and the banging could be heard from his cell.
That's pretty common.
Apparently. Every time we do one of these, I'm like, well, the scaffold wasn't done, so he got to watch him build it. Like, maybe I'm just doing the first hanging in every county.
I'm guessing. Do they tear this down every time?
I don't know. Arthur woke up at around 3 a.m. on the last morning of his life. Once the sun rose, he spotted the scaffold and burst into tears.
Oh, poor thing.
He confessed to killing his wife and child, but he said it was not his fault.
Of course not.
Something evil inside him made him do it.
Oh my God.
He understood that he had to die. Get ready for this one. But he could not die on that scaffold.
What?
You see, he explained that he had invented that scaffold and it was illegal to hang a man on a contraption of his own making.
What a moron.
Do you think that... We'll talk.
You go, doctor. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Shortly before 1 p.m., Dustro was led to the gallows. He had... recommenced his persona of Count Brandenburg, walking stoically without hesitation to the scaffold and standing on the trap door.
Count
Brandenburg. He's a Prussian general.
Wow.
His hands and legs were tied, and the sheriff addressed him by his name, Arthur Dustrow, and asked if he had any final words. He replied, "I am not Dustrow," before bidding farewell to the Lieutenant Governor Johnson and the Countess Van Brandenburg.
Oh my goodness.
Countess Von Brandenburg, excuse me.
Get it right.
Bad Prussian. German. I think they speak German there. The trap was sprung at exactly 1 p.m. and his body was cut down 20 minutes later. His attorney, Johnson, was still convinced of Dustrow's insanity, and so much so that he requested that the body be given to science so that they could study his brain.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, he was
it's probably floating in alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, let's say it damaged his brain. He may be on something.
That's valid.
But he's only 25. How much? I mean, I've seen people who are, you know, in their 60s who've been drunk for 50 years, and they're not, you know, thinking they're a Prussian general.
I don't care how drunk or sick you are. You pick up a gun and kill two of the loved ones. There's no sympathy.
I know.
Sympathy.
I know. You're getting excited. Can't talk anymore. So, however.
There's no excuses.
I know. No, there's not. The body was instead turned over to his sister, Hulda, who Arthur had claimed not to know after she had estranged herself from him whenever he killed his family. So she was like, dude, no more. She didn't talk to him anymore. And then when somebody had mentioned something about his sister, Hulda, he was like, I don't know who Hulda Dustrow is.
Is that how it went?
I am Count Brandenburg. Nine. I don't know. She buried him next to Little Louis in Bellefontaine Cemetery.
Well, how come he got to be buried next to the baby?
I know, isn't that shitty?
The mom didn't.
Because he did.
He killed
him, and now he gets to bury. He gets to be
with him.
With him.
Next to him.
Well, I guess. Yeah.
Well, he's probably in hell.
He don't know, but so, or does he?
Stop it.
Anyway.
That's messed up.
Isn't it? So what do you think? Do you think he was actually insane? I think he was a little Looney Tunes.
I mean, probably.
Because.
But it sounds like those Looney Tunes just come about since his, like, he was fine, unless he's drinking, but then. I feel like he's just putting on a play.
Maybe. But does he have any reason to continue to put it on after he's...
enjoyed it.
I just wonder if he didn't think, if they really see how crazy I am, they'll have pity and, like, reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe he didn't understand that that is not going to happen.
Yeah.
And he just thought, I'm riding this pony on out of here. Yeah,
I believe that's what was going on.
Yeah, I don't know. It sucks because he had this beautiful home, this beautiful family. He lived off his inheritance. So they were just living. He even had a side piece in the city.
He had it made. I mean, in his world, he had it made.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know. It's stupid.
It is stupid. Poor little baby.
I mean, you're arguing with your wife. Why kill the kid?
Mm-hmm.
Baby didn't do nothing.
Nope.
Even if you're mad at your wife or whatever and you're arguing with her, the baby didn't do nothing. Stupid.
It doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to kill the kid, too. Anyway, that's a terrible
You have to
story.
Be loony to do that.
A little bit, yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, he kept it going so much. And it was almost like, and I wonder if it's not like a, maybe a manic depressant. I don't know if it doesn't seem like a manic and then depressant. So, but I don't know. It seems like something, that, like there's two different people there, you know? like he's fine, but then whenever he flips, he's out there, like crazy. And he's not drinking while he's in jail. I mean, it never said anything about that.
Right.
So if he's not drinking and he's still making up these people who he is and stories about his wife and kid talking to him telepathically. Like, no, dude, that's called guilt and it's haunting you. Yeah, that's happening. What it is, yeah. I don't know. It just seems like there's something going on.
I don't know. I'm just glad they finally found him guilty.
Yep, he's dead. I mean, he would be anyway, but nowadays.
He didn't get to live on.
No. For 3 years, he did.
He didn't get to enjoy that money, though.
No. So?
Yas.
Did you like that story?
I kind of.
I know, it sucked.
I don't like the ending. I didn't like that he got buried next to the baby and she didn't. That was weird.
Yeah. I thought it was weird too, but I think it's weird that she's in a totally different cemetery. Like, I'll look and see if I can find out something about that because that bothers me. Like, we need to go move her.
Yeah, okay. We'll make that happen.
Someday we're going to have to go to these cemeteries and visit the graves of all the people we've talked about.
That would take a while.
Road trip, we'll do it. We'll do, like, take like 2 weeks off work and just drive to cemeteries visiting people that are dead and we don't know.
I'm not ready to go back to work. Let's go now.
Me either. Speaking of which, we're still on vacation for another, 12 hours almost. So that sucks. We're going back to work tomorrow. I don't think either one of us are ready to go. We needed a couple more weeks.
A couple more weeks. Not just a couple more days.
The last week going up to vacation, I was so exhausted. Like, oh my God. Get up, go to work. Work. Come home, do some more work. Go to bed, get up, go to work. And I was doing work or school or podcast every second leading up to leaving.
I
feel like
that's a lot of people's lives. I don't know how they do it.
Me either.
You drag all the time.
I know. Yeah. And then other people have children.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you keep them alive? I can barely keep myself alive.
I don't know. Moms, hats off to you because 100%. Shayla struggles.
I do. And I only have Bodie and he pretty much handles himself.
You just got to open the door for him every now and then.
Put out a tray of food every morning and evening. He's fine. Which, I don't know, maybe kids are that easy. I don't know. But, so, we were exhausted starting our trip. And we, luckily, we stopped about halfway, got a lovely little suite, and slept our asses off that first night. Woke up ready to go for vacation on Saturday.
Got our own bed. Like, that's...
Listen, here you go. Here's a little glimpse into the marriage in the Yardley house. When we are on vacation, we always, almost always,
we always do.
Get separate beds.
We do.
Because we like to spread, like, it's vacation time.
Yep.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
At first, I was like, why are you getting two queens? What's the deal? And now I'm like, make sure we got two queens.
Yeah. When I first said something, very first time, I took it offensive. Let's just get two queens. And you were like, what, you don't want to sleep with me? And I'm like, well, I was kind of hoping to have some room, but okay. Not that a king size bed is plenty room for us. We don't even hardly see each other in a king size bed. It's like, it's hey. Fine. But... then we started getting two queens, and oftentimes the queen rooms with two beds is cheaper than a king room, which is weird. Jacked to me, but whatever. And so we also, you know, try to watch how much money we spend a lot. And so we'd done that a few times. And the last few times that I booked a room for us, Terry's like, does it have two beds? It isn't just a king, is it? It has two beds. I'm like, okay.
I see where this is going.
That's fine.
So that's a thing. Yeah. And we just sleep our little butts off.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It is nice. We get really good sleep on the road. And so we found a lovely little suite. I would have stayed there all week. And stayed the first night. We were well rested, ready to go the next morning. It made it so much easier. In the past, we have started after work and driven all night long and get there and just be like trying to sleep with your head against the window in the car until the hotel lets you check in. Like, those sucked. So this time we did it differently, just split it. We were still there way before everybody else got there. Because Mom and Dad and Bradley and Nick, they left Saturday morning. So we were still there well before they got there. We got to get into the house, pick our room first, the one with two beds. I don't think that they believed us when we said we wanted the room with two beds until they were like, oh, you guys really, we really took that room. Yeah. No, we did. It was also the biggest room, so that helped.
Score, other than the master, of course.
Yeah. So all that. And then what did we do in New Orleans that was fun?
Airboat ride.
The airboat ride was amazing. If you haven't done that, I would recommend it. But all in all, well, and then we did, we'll talk about, we did the,
museum.
Yes, the National World War II Museum. It was fantastic. It was.
For sure.
It was so good.
We were there for like 3-4 hours.
Yeah. And I feel like we kind of skimmed through. Mm-hmm. Like, if we had taken the time and read and like been immersed in it, we would have been there all day long.
For sure. It was so awesome.
Yeah. But the last pavilion, like there's five, six pavilions that you go through, which are gigantic buildings. And the last one was closing at 1:45 because they were having a ceremony. And so we were trying to kind of rush through to get to that last one, because it had all the planes and tanks and mm-hmm. stuff. And we wanted to get to that one before it closed. So we were kind of trying to time ourselves so that we would get there before the ceremony, before they closed it down. So I think that definitely played a part. And then it was a little underwhelming. but we are ruined because we saw the pictures, we were expecting something similar to the National Museum of Naval Aviation in Pensacola, which is phenomenal and about 10 times that World War II museum, where the Pavilion 5, where the planes and tanks were. So we were so excited, thinking we were going to get to see that much stuff, and it was just not close. So right. I think we had
more little stuff,
yeah,
and more history.
We were just kind of spoiled to Pensacola's museum after seeing, because mm-hmm. that museum was incredible.
They have with a lot all of big stuff, the tanks, yeah, the planes.
And so whenever that was just like one big room with like 5 or 6 planes and a few Jeeps, like it was like,
but okay. They're still adding on. They probably get more in there.
Yeah. But the museum at Pensacola, it's all about naval aviation. That's it's true. Going to be just those things. So it's not about a whole war that they have to cover in the other exactly. places. So, yeah, that was, it was good.
It was good.
It was so really good. And I really wish that we would have maybe just looked at the Pavilion 5 first, because then I'd have been like, oh, I don't need to go there. We can just really get mm-hmm. into everything else and see it. So,
and then we went to the park, which was amazing.
City Park was unreal.
And we only got to see a little bit of it.
We got to see like a tenth of it.
How many acres was there? Like a
teeny tiny little bit, 1,300, I think. And we were all like, we walked, and we were there like 2 hours, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't think we were there 2 hours.
Oh.
But we were right by Cafe du Monde. So if you're familiar with New Orleans, and you know that there's that section right there by Cafe du Monde, and we just kind of strolled around there. They closed down the botanical gardens and the structure, or the, no, they didn't do the sculpture garden.
We got there like 45 minutes before.
Yeah, we scared we wouldn't get through it, and we'd have to pay for it. So, but they did close the botanical gardens because it looked like it might rain.
The weather's supposed to be bad.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
But that's okay. You can't whatever. Judge.
I think she just wanted off work early to go party or something.
Oh, God.
But, so I don't know. Can't tell you about the botanical gardens or the sculpture garden.
It looks cool from the fence. It looked
amazing from the outside. So I would probably go see that.
I wish we went to the park amazing. Sooner.
I know.
Spend more time.
I
there.
Know. I had it on the list. I wanted to do that the very first day. I wanted to go to Cafe du Monde. We mentioned it
multiple times.
And have cafe au lait and beignets and go to City Park and enjoy those and be able to tour the park and really look at it. You know, start the day there and then not leave until we were ready to go. And
just didn't work
nobody,
out.
I don't think anybody realized
what the park what was.
Because I would be like, hey, can we go to the park tomorrow? Yeah, like, we can maybe do that. Okay. And then, so we didn't do it until like the last day we were there and it was spectacular. And we really wished we'd spent a lot more time there because it was gorgeous. Those oak trees with the Spanish moss, they take my breath away. And that's one reason I think Savannah, Georgia would be like, to me until I was eaten by mosquitoes.
Carried away.
Yeah. But we saw the lighthouse on Lake Pontchartrain. It's not really a lighthouse. I mean, it is.
It is. It's just not like what
but,
you expect.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you expect it to be huge, which it makes sense. It's just on a lake, but
yeah.
Yeah.
It's and not like an ocean lighthouse.
It had a lot of really cool facts in there. Like, they have a museum up in the top of the lighthouse, and it had really cool facts about the conservancy and all of the, just kind of the... What would you say?
Like the prep of another hurricane and stuff like that.
What they've done to ensure Katrina does not happen again. Mm-hmm. As far as like what they can control. So that was neat. But we did Bourbon Street.
Not our forte.
Man, oh man.
We're too old.
Yes. Listen, folks. I have learned, I talk like I'm 80 years old, in the places that Terry and I have traveled, if you go to one of those streets, you know what I'm talking about, one of those streets, the tourist street, the draw from the city, that street you need to go down, everybody's going to tell you to, they're all the same. All of them.
Yep.
They all have the same trinkets with different names on them. They all have the same cups, the same stones, the same postcards. They're all the same. They just have their name on it. Most of them are not local. Most of them are not. I mean, obviously you're helping the locals because you're buying their things. But Bourbon Street was much like Eureka Springs with the small streets. Walking down, there's shops, people trying to sell you shit. The only thing different is there's drunk people on Bourbon Street. And the people on in Eureka Springs are generally not drunk until after dark. So that's the difference to me. And so I don't think, like, in our future travels, I need to go to that street and any other city.
Mm-mm.
Especially if it's a Bourbon Street type street, because drunk people make me crazy.
They scare me.
Yes. Well, because you never know what that, well, this story that we just talked about, you never know what they're going to do. And I'm very uncomfortable in the world that we live in today. Like, I'm always waiting for gunshots to start ringing out. And so when I'm in a place like that with a big crowd of people and there's drinking, I'm always like, which one is it? Which one's it going to be? Like, I don't know. It freaks me out. I don't like it. So we were on Bourbon Street and...
We went and ate on Bourbon Street.
We did.
But he was nervous. Like, your demeanor was totally different.
Oh,
he was nervous.
I was
the
so
whole time.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. So the first day we were there, we went down to Bourbon Street. We went downtown. We ended up on Bourbon Street, of course. But I wore flats like an idiot.
Stupid.
So we were walking around down there for like 3 hours or something. And I'm in my flats on that pavement, whatever you call it. And it's uneven. It was terrible. My feet hurt so bad.
Even talked about this with the packs you used to walk around in.
I know. But I wasn't thinking we were going to do that when we went downtown. Okay. If I didn't know we were going to walk to shops and stuff, like, I thought we were going to, like, have a look-see. Sit down and have a snack. Go back to the house. No. So anyway, we did all that and I was dying. And I was like, guys, I've got to go back to the house and change my shoes at least. And then everybody ended up coming back to the house and we cooked dinner. But after that, That was the first night. And after that, I was ruined. I couldn't do it. I couldn't walk too far or anything. I have plantar fasciitis, and my feet were just done after the first night. They were so inflamed. All week, and
poor Shayla.
Yeah. All week I'd be like, guys, I have to sit down. Sorry. I'm like grandma that has to make everybody stop all the time to sit down.
We went to the aquarium. We had to wait for Shayla.
Oh, yeah. We went to the aquarium. The aquarium was really good.
It was.
It was really good. I mean, we have Wonders of Wildlife here, which, again, kind of spoils us because we have such a great aquarium. But I had never seen penguins yet.
Oh, my God.
Because
so good.
When I went to WOW, they didn't have penguins yet. So I got to see the penguins in New Orleans, and that was great. The aquarium was one of my favorite things. It seemed like it was too short.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was good.
It was good. It was really good. Yeah. So that was fun.
It was.
That was a lot of fun. I don't, and I know we talked about doing like a ton of like haunted stuff, and people were like, you have to do a ghost tour in New Orleans. You have to do Bloody Marys in New Orleans. And I wanted to go to Bloody Marys so much, but just time didn't allow it. And to be quite honest, we were really just being on vacation, and I didn't want to be paying attention too much to like taking notes and making sure I had something to bring back to the podcast because I was on vacation, by golly.
By golly?
But there's a few things that we left undone, and that's the only reason I might go back to New Orleans, but I just didn't love it. I mean, I understand it's like a really different culture, but I mean, we did travel to other parts of the city. We were in the Garden District, which I understood was a nice part of the city, but it was not. I don't know. Where we stayed was dirty, smelled bad. Of course, it rained the whole time, so that could be part of it.
It kept us in a bad mood.
But yeah, I think
it's checked
impressed.
Off our list, and we can move on to elsewhere.
I just think I could definitely do another swamp tour every day for the rest of my life. I could do another swamp tour because I was obsessed. I loved it.
If we go back, I'm spending most of my time in the park too.
Yes. So I could go back to the park, and
I'm taking my bike and I'm riding it.
Mm-hmm. And we could go back to the World War II Museum and see the submarine thing that wasn't open.
Oh, it was closed. Yeah.
Yeah. So, a few things. And, of course, the ghosty stuff. We didn't go to a cemetery.
We didn't
do anything like that. We did stop at Myrtle's Plantation on the way home.
But it rained the whole time.
It was piss pouring rain when we got to Myrtle's.
So we went in the gift shop, turned around, and left.
Yeah, pretty much. We just kind of walked around and looked at things.
Got a postcard.
And got the hell out. And we were exhausted, and we had been rained on for 4 days straight. And we were over it.
We was going to stay.
Yeah, we were going to stay at Myrtle's, but
we decided we could be home by 9. Let's go home and just chill for 3 days at home.
Also, let me just tell you the truth, guys. We missed Bodie too bad, and we called and had Terry's dad go and get Bodie from camp a day early so that we could see him when we got home. Because we were missing him badly.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Good times. But no, it was a fun vacation. It was nice to be with family. I've never had a family vacation, so I mean, I thought it was nice. It's, you know, you got different people with different things that they want to do. But I think it worked out. I think it was fine. Yeah, it was fun. I definitely found myself thinking, man, if we were in Pensacola, like over and over again.
It's because that's your go-to place.
I know. It's like my home. So
it takes everything to get you to go somewhere
I'm practically
else.
92 years old.
Yes, you are.
I'm like, can't we just go hang out somewhere quiet? Why is there so much loud music? No, not really. I loved the music. I wish there would have been more of that. I expected a whole lot more of that than there was. But anyway, we did go to Marie Laveau's.
We did.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Wasn't what I expected.
Me either. It looks like it's all been sitting there since 1972. It was like dusty and old. And
it
I was.
Was
like, do you do this for the effect? Because
it's working.
Yeah. So anyway, tell us your favorite spots in New Orleans.
Did we miss it?
Probably.
Are we missing
we did. We missed a lot of New Orleans. So that's why I think we need to go back and do some of these.
I'm ready to go elsewhere. We go south a lot.
We do go south a lot.
I mean, we did go to Lake Tahoe for the wedding, and it was awesome. So I'm ready to go back that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Take me to Portland.
Let's go. We was reading reading on Portland last night online, and I'm like, let's go there.
Listen, I've been trying to get her to take me to Portland forever. And so finally she started researching it and was like, this is our place. This is we need to move there. I'm like, thanks.
This is us.
Yeah. It would be great, actually. I would love that.
I don't know about moving there. Never know.
We'll see. I'll keep working on you. Anyway, I hope everybody had a great week. We will
see if we can survive tomorrow going back to
back
work.
To work. I don't think I've ever dreaded it so badly.
Oh my God, it's 8 o'clock. We better go to bed.
Yeah. Well, so I lost my boss's last day was while I was gone on vacation. So I get to go back and not have my boss there too, which, you know, was not fun for me. So
yeah, but you have your own office now.
Yeah. I would trade it to have her back, but whatever.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make you smile. It's so sad.
It's fine. It'll be fine.
Hopefully you'll get a good one.
Yeah, we will. So everybody have a great week. Stay healthy, stay safe, and send us a message if you have something to say. You can probably tell us all the things we did wrong in New Orleans.
Because
I'm sure we did a lot.
We definitely need some info on that.
Well, it was my first time, and I was kind of left to do the planning. I didn't have a friggin' clue what I was doing. So I didn't know anything about New Orleans except the ghosty places and the park. That was it.
Yeah.
So
and
I didn't
like,
do a great job.
What are we doing next? Yeah. Shayla.
I'm like, hell if I know. I ain't been here before. All right, guys. We love you so much. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.